Welcome to this episode of MC Forward, a podcast that focuses on Montgomery College individuals who are leading from where they are. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Mills. Joining me today is Sade Akinremisi, Instructional Assistant in the Assessment and Testing Center. Sade, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule as you prepare for students to join me.
Thank you, Dr. Mills. I'm glad to be here. I'm happy you invited me to join in.
Talking about leadership, what kind of leader do you look for? What kind of leadership do you look for?
Okay, so with me, I would say I look for a leader like a Scrum Master. So I happen to have done some classes with regards to project management. And one thing that I realized, you know, being a leader, you have to be a servant. It has to be a servant leader role. So you're a servant leader in that you are a protector, a supporter, a coach, and you're also a facilitator. So, and you can also be an enabler, but in a good way. So when I say an enabler in a good way is, you could have this person do stuff. Not that you're enabling the person to do that thing wrongly, but you're enabling them to be better at what they do. So that's what I see. That's what I see a leader as, or the kind of leader that I am, is a Scrum Master, a servant leader role. That's what I see a leader as.
Of those characteristics that you mentioned, protector, supporter, coach, facilitator, and enabler, which one is the hardest to be?
The hardest could be a protector.
Why?
The reason why I say that is if you have someone that you're protecting, okay, like you have a coworker and you support the coworker, you encourage the coworker, you coach the coworker, you help the coworker, you enable the coworker. But if the coworker doesn't do what they're supposed to do, or maybe does things in the wrong way, and expects you as the protector to continue to protect them, even though you've been protecting them all this while, and you've been helping them, you've been coaching them, you've been encouraging them, you've been saying, oh, this is what I want you to do, this is how I want you to proceed and stuff like that. You've even had conversations with this person and the person is still doing the thing the other way, the wrong way. There's a limit to your protection. So that's why I think that protection is kind of the hardest thing as a leader.
I agree with you. I think there are a lot of times where most of the leaders I know really do a good job of supporting, coaching, facilitating, and enabling. And they protect to a point, but they're not going to fall on that sword for an individual if that individual continually does the wrong thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I see. That's why I thought of it that would be the hardest thing to do and to continue doing. If you've spoken to this person, you've helped the person the way you can, you've encouraged this person as much as you can, and this person keeps going back to doing the wrong thing, then there's that much you could do. You can't keep protecting the person forever. You know, so that's why I think that's one of the hardest things to do as a leader.
In your leadership journey, how difficult has it been for you to get to this point of being a servant leader? Or is that something that you've always aspired to and that it just came pretty naturally for you?
I would say it came natural to me because, as you know, I'm an African. I came from an African country, and it's been like my dad, when I was younger, he's an accountant. And so he had already imbibed that in me that, you know, this is how you should be and this is how you should not be. So I already had that, you know, that in me that, you know, to be, I love encouraging people. I love coaching people. I love helping people, and I want to see the best in everybody. So when I served as a leader before I moved here to the United States, when I served in a company where I was the manager there, I had people from, you know, like different cultures, and, you know, people from different cultures had different ways of doing things. So because I had that coaching and facilitator as someone that will love to encourage people and would love to help people to help them succeed. So I had that in me already. So it was kind of easier for me to work with people and to help people to do what they're supposed to do with regards to, you know, their job, with regards to even as a student, you know, like I work in the assessment center right now. When students come in and they're, you know, they're asking about taking the placement test, because, you know, we do the placement test in the assessment, we do a lot of testing in the assessment center, and they come and they ask about, okay, I'm like, okay, so what are your plans? What do you want to do? What are you majoring in? So I go further to ask them questions about what they're trying to do. And I, you know, I kind of like encourage them. I go into my mentoring mode and kind of encourage them and say, okay, so you want to go into this. Why do you want to go into this field? What do you think you gain from this field? And some of them will, you know, they'll open up. Some of them, you know, will hold back. And some of them will be like, oh, yeah, yeah, what do you think about this field? And, you know, I have that motherly intuition to always ask that question that, okay, you know, how can I support you? How can I help you? And I recently worked with the Office of Equity and Inclusion. I participated as a talent share. So I had to mentor a student that done the Social Justice Institute program that they had there. So one of the things I did with that student was, while I was mentoring the student, I was in a class, you know, doing a project management class. So every little skill that I get from there, I, you know, let the student know about it. And I you know, tell the student, you know, like, okay, so what are your plans? You know, you want to put your milestones, you want to put your goals, you want to do this. And, you know, I try to encourage that person that, you know, this is what you need to do to get to where you want to get to and stuff. Like, so that's the kind of person I am.
Your passion for working with students is quite evident. It's refreshing to see.
Yeah. I mean, I try, you know, I was a student before, and I see what it takes to get to where you want to succeed. So I have that passion to always assist the best that I can, to encourage the best that I can, and to help the best that I can.
You mentioned earlier that you came to the United States and you have this international perspective. Are there leadership differences between other countries in the United States?
I wouldn't say differently. I would say maybe the cultural difference. That's what I would just look at, the cultural difference, because when I came here and, you know, there was this culture shock when I got here, you know, there's the aspect of, you know, do you know diversity? Do you know about inclusion? Are you including everybody and stuff like that? So those kind of talks, we didn't have that back home, because there wasn't anything about, oh, you know, race or, you know, diversity or, you know, are you including everybody? There wasn't anything like that. So it was like a culture shock when I first got here. It was like, oh, so we have to really be cognizant of what we do, the people we talk to, the way we talk to people, the way we accept people and stuff like that. So those are the things that, you know, was kind of different from the leaders back home compared to the leaders here.
And when you say back home, where was home?
Nigeria.
Nigeria. Yes. Okay. So as you move through your leadership journey, what are the aspects that you're still working on?
The aspect that I think I'm still working on is, how would I say this? You know, like I mentioned all the different stuff as a leader and all that. I think one aspect that I'm still working on is the, you know, like I mentioned, the part of being inclusive, you know, I'm still working on that, you know, to at least, I guess, get to that area where I see that, you know, I don't see, you know, that people don't see color, you know, when with regards to your being leading, you know, you don't see color, you don't see that this person is different from you, you don't see that this person talks differently, or that this person or speaks different, or even mannerism of that person, you don't see the difference. So those are things that I'm still working at, you know, to improve on, I guess, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say improve on, but I would say just to work at it.
Have you experienced that on the other side? You come to this country from Nigeria. Have you experienced leaders looking at you differently?
Not here, per se, but I would say maybe not on purpose. You know, it could be that, you know, the person is just not knowledgeable about this. So that's what I would say, because even I remember attending a book review or a film that they had at OEI. And then the facilitator was asking that, what do you think, you know, as, you know, what's going on in this movie was about, you know, was about race, was about talking about race and all that. And then what do you think about it? So I was like, well, I'm secure in my race. So I'm secure in my color. I'm secure in the color of my skin. So and that I don't see, I mean, there's so many things going around us and that you see, and you know, you watch movie, I mean, you watch the TV and stuff like that. But I was like, I don't see that. And I don't expect any other person to see that. So that's where my perspective is. I just say, okay, I don't see it. So I don't expect any other person to see it. But if I see that someone sees it in a different way, then it's that the person is not knowledgeable about it.
If we can go back to students for a second, what do you see the biggest need for students in developing their leadership skills?
I think the biggest thing, I mean, things that I've noticed with students is they want the quickest way, you know, to doing things. Like, okay, with regards, when I'm saying the quickest way, so we have, you know, we have a website, the college has a website, and there are some places that they need to go to. Like, okay, if a student comes in for the first time and wants to do a placement test, aside, and we, you know, tell them, okay, this is how you go, this is what you need to do and all that, but students don't want to read. That's one of the things. And they don't want to, they don't want things hard. They want the easiest way to get to what where they want to. So as a leader, you know, things won't be easy all the time. There are times where things might be a little bit difficult that you might have to change. You know, like when we went, like when COVID started and nobody knew, you know, that we're going to be, you know, sitting at home, working from home for over 2 years and all that. And we had to make changes. And all of that, you had to learn how to walk online. And so that's one of the things that I always tell students, that you, first of all, you got to learn to read. It's important to read. You got to learn to read, because as a leader, if you don't know how to read, if you don't know how to be patient, then it's going to be hard for you. So as a student, you want to learn how to read. You don't want to say, okay, I want the easiest way out. Read. And then if you don't understand what you're reading, then ask questions.
You know? That adaptability that you mentioned, I think, is so crucial for leaders. And it doesn't matter where you are in an organization. You can be in any position. But that need to be adaptable, I think, is just critical to not only the success of an individual, but as a result, the success of an organization.
Exactly. You have to be able to adapt to changes, no matter what the change is. That's what I see. I mean, like when we went into like the assessment, even though the assessment center had online proctoring services, but we didn't go full force as in working online and stuff like that. So you had to learn how to adapt to that change. You know, okay, so there's a saying that you can teach the person how to, you know, drink water, but you can't actually take that person to drink the water. The person has to move themselves, you know, able to change, able to adapt to change. You know, okay, what's going on? How do I adapt to this change? There are different ways of adapting. There are different ways where you think that might be better for you to adapt to stuff. So I think it's always important to see that change is not supposed to make it difficult. Change is supposed to make it better.
I get the sense, Shade, that you are pretty adaptable.
Yes, I am. Okay, go ahead.
Have you always been that way?
Yeah, I would say I've always been that way because I'm a person that loves challenges and I pick up things really fast. So if you throw something at me, you know, I wouldn't say, oh, no, I wouldn't go against it. I'll just look at it and look at a way where I can walk with it. So that's what I do. And I'm a pretty fast learner. So I love to learn new things. So I guess maybe because I love to learn new things, maybe that's what makes it easy for me to adapt to stuff. I think that's why.
So you see change as an opportunity, not as a problem.
No, I see it as an opportunity, yeah. Because if you see it as a problem, then you wouldn't want to do it. You have to have that. You have to change your mentality with regards to change. Don't see change as a problem. See it as an opportunity to improve.
And if leaders look at these changes as opportunities, it makes it easier for the people they work with.
Exactly. Makes it easier for the people they work with. It makes it easier for everybody around them.
And yet we still often look at change as negative, not as an opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you know, a lot of people they're thinking that, okay, why, if it's not broken, why do you want to change it? So that's what a lot of people fight against change, because they're like, okay, since this is not broken, why do we have to change it? Let's continue doing what we're doing. But the thing about change is that you want to improve on what you've already been doing. You know, you want to make it better. You want to improve on it. You know, you don't want to keep staying and being stagnant and stay at that particular place and not change. So there's always going to be time that you need to change.
Well, I think people often say, you know, if it's not broken, why are we changing it? Why are we moving in a different direction? It's because it's easy to stay where we are.
Exactly.
Right? It's hard to make those adaptations and move in a different direction or alter the course a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's like I said, it has to come from that person. You know, that person has to be able to, you know, adapt. You know, you can't just say, okay, because this thing is like you said, if it's not broken, why do you want to change it? There are times that you need to make a change. There are times that you need to manage. There's a reason why this change is coming into place. Why? Okay, look at it as, okay, why is this, what's the reason why this change is coming? Don't look at it as, you know, that's, oh, it's difficult or it's going to be problematic trying to change something. You want to say, okay, why are we changing this? Is it to improve what we already have in place or to go in a better way or to give other options? You know, like we have hybrid options now, you know, like students can do either online or in person. But, you know, even though we had the online distance learning classes and all that before, but being able to do it in other ways, like, you know, you have Zoom, you have Blackboard Collaborate and stuff, other ways where you can actually help a student to succeed. So you don't have to be just one way strict. there should be different ways where students can learn and succeed. Okay, we're all here to make students succeed. So there should be different ways to help the student to succeed. So that's what I see with regards to change.
Sade, this was fun. This was it was a good conversation. I appreciate your candidness and your insight.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that at first I was like, I don't know what it's going to be, but since there wasn't some questions already set aside. But I'm glad I came, and I'm glad to be able to have this conversation with you.
If you know someone who you think would be a great fit for this podcast, have them reach out to me at michael.mills@montgomerycollege.edu. Meanwhile, keep moving MC forward.